the theme from the Sears Radio Theater. Tonight, a program of love and hate with Cicely Tyson as your hostess. Here's a preview.
Farnsworth's definitely going to have to retire at the end of the month. Board's going to meet at the end of the week to decide on a successor.
And?
And I'm worried.
Why? You're sure to get it this time.
I don't know. I think old man Adams has his eye on Hogan.
The Sears Radio Theater will begin after this message from your local station.
This is Cicely Tyson. There is an image some of us have of the modern corporate world. Gleaming skyscrapers where the transaction of business has become so civilized, the fight has been all but bred out of the people who work there. The three-piece suit has replaced rolled-up shirt sleeves. Everything is done by the numbers. Individuals no longer make their mark. Instead, the corporation assures security to all those who enter its portals. But this is hardly a true picture. There's a great deal of sweating that goes on in those air-conditioned offices.
You want to see me, Cliff?
Oh, yes, John. Come in.
I'm pretty busy at the moment, Cliff.
I was just looking at the view from my office window.
Yeah, it's very nice. Well, what's up?
I realized this morning I'm not going to have this view much longer.
The phrase, the survival of the fittest, may have been coined in the 19th century when business competition was more openly cutthroat than it is today. But it is no less relevant. If anything, it is truer now than ever. As the pressures of modern civilization increase, the struggle behind the smile and the handshake grows ever more intense. And that's only the beginning of our story.
Theater, a new adventure in radio listening. 5 nights of exceptional entertainment every week, brought to you in Elliot Lewis production of The Sears Radio Theater. Our story, Survival, by Percy Grainger. Our stars, Mary Jane Croft, Fletcher Markle, and Elliot Lewis. The Sears Radio Theater is brought to you by Sears Roebuck and Company. Sears, where America shops for value.
Someone once observed that all men are the same when their backs are to the wall. This may not be entirely true, but personalities have been known to undergo strange changes when circumstances get desperate. Our story is about three people. Cliff Grant, vice president in a large New York bank, his wife, Melissa, and a young up-and-coming junior executive named John Hogan. In temperament, Cliff and John are opposites. Cliff is relaxed, solid, dependable. John is brash and ruthlessly ambitious. And Melissa? Well, she's the woman who finds herself in the middle. Right now, we are in Cliff's office on the 52nd floor, overlooking Lower Manhattan.
Cliff, what did you just say? I said I'm not going to have this view much longer.
My God, what's happened?
That new building they're erecting across the street. When it's complete, it'll be 10 stories higher than that.
Oh, for a moment you had me worried. I thought it was something serious.
I think that's serious. This view is very important to me.
Well, doesn't it distract you?
No, it helps. Reminds me there's more to life than work. City, harbor. I miss all those big ocean liners. There used to be sailings almost every day. Now, it's just a few cruise ships once a week.
We've been in the same office a long time.
You ever miss the old days?
No, I'm concentrating on the future. After all, that's where we'll be spending the rest of our lives. Look, your secretary said you wanted to see me, and I'm kind of pressed for time.
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, it's about your position.
What's happened?
Well, I'm afraid you don't have it anymore.
Don't have it? What do you mean?
Relax. You're no longer my assistant. You've been promoted. You are now a full-fledged vice president with your own department.
I am?
You'll be in charge of foreign investments. We want to expand more in that area. How successful we are will be largely up to you.
Well, this is terrific.
Our president, Ernie Adams, asked me for a recommendation he could make to the board. I gave him your name. He presented it. They approved it this morning.
Oh, when do I start?
Right away. Take the morning off. Move into your new office.
Okay.
John, I've taught you everything I know. From now on, you're on your own. Oh, and John, one last bit of advice. If I were you, I'd familiarize myself with the situation in the Far East. I have a feeling detente's going to move faster than any of us expect. And there'll be a lot of business there for the bank that gets in on the ground floor.
Okay. See you later.
All right. And now, Clifford, back into harness. Yeah?
Cliff, I'm sorry. I guess I forgot to say thanks for everything.
Forget it. Just one thing to remember when you move into your new office.
What's that?
Beware of the view.
Don't worry, I'll keep my blinds drawn.
Melissa, I'm home.
Oh, hi, dear. How was your day?
Well, never complete till I get one of these.
Going out to the terrace. Mm-hmm. Still so lovely, I thought we'd have our evening cocktail there.
You know, these few moments above deck make all the hours below pulling at the oars worthwhile.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. 1,000 bows in your general direction, my dear. How have I been so lucky to keep such a beautiful maiden in my tower all these years of her own free will?
Because free will is cheaper than dragon feed. And I need our money for other things, like bills.
Yes.
You're even more benign than usual tonight. You keeping something from me?
No.
Old Farnsworth hasn't kicked the bucket, has he?
Melissa?
Well, he's been executive vice president long enough. Hasn't that ever upset you at all, that he was promoted over your head?
Well, there's no point in fighting old battles, especially on such a lovely evening.
Well, still upsets me, the way he toadied in front of the board.
Well, be thankful you aren't married to a toady.
Now that the twins are starting college, that promotion would have helped. It's going to be expensive.
It's our punishment for marrying you.
Just in the nick of time, I'd say. Do you know I read today that by the year 2000, a pair of children's shoes is going to cost $200?
Are you pregnant?
Oh, no.
Well, what do you care about the price of a toddler's footwear? You read too much.
I just meant that as an example. And he stole your ideas.
Who?
Farnsworth. Everyone steals your ideas.
Oh, by the way, there was a promotion today. John Hogan's been made a vice president.
John Hogan?
He's a hard worker.
He's got the morals of a ferret.
He learns quickly.
Yes, using other people's ideas, just like Farnsworth.
He speaks highly of you, too. No, you know, seriously, I've seen him ogle you at parties.
Really?
Yeah.
That doesn't bother you?
I applaud his good taste.
I hope Farnsworth does hurry up and retire now.
Why?
Before Mr. Hogan has a chance to make an end run into the executive vice presidency, too.
You hold that against me?
No, I don't think so, dear. I try not to, but it just seems so unfair.
No one ever said business was fair. I'm just not an infighter. I never have been. And I refuse to play office politics. But I am the best vice president there, and they know it. And when the time comes, I'll get the promotion.
But what if it's not that simple, Cliff? What if you do have to fight for it? What if John Hogan or someone else makes you fight for it? Then what'll you do?
I really don't know.
On the terrace of their suburban home, an expensive home, that reflects the style of life supported by Cliff's job. They have a mortgage, children in college, they vacation abroad, and they entertain frequently at home. All this takes money. And with the economy being what it is today, it takes more money than ever. We move ahead now a number of months. John Hogan has settled into his new position, and as Cliff predicted, Hogan has done remarkably well. In the office of Ernst Adams, the president of the bank, Cliff has turned in a report.
I've been over your report, Cliff. That makes my review of the last quarter complete, and I think I'll have good news for our stockholders next month.
We're moving up in the world?
Well, we're still number three. I want us to be number two by the end of the year. And I think we can do it. Especially with performances like John Hogan's and foreign investments. That was a good choice I made, don't you think?
Yes. Yes, it was.
Glad I had my eye on him. The chairman of the board's expressed his gratitude on more than one occasion, and I must say Hogan's idea to concentrate his efforts in the Far East was a masterstroke. Who'd have thought normalization of relations there would have proceeded so quickly?
Who indeed?
I didn't just ask you in here to discuss your report, Cliff. I'm afraid I have some bad news, and I thought I ought to share it with you. Hildy Farnsworth checked into the hospital this morning. It's just a test, but it appears he may have cancer.
Oh, that's terrible. What hospital? I'll give him a call.
Yeah, my secretary has a number. Nothing certain, of course. We won't know anything for a while yet, but we may be needing a new executive vice president.
Well, for Hildy's sake, let's hope so.
Well, I thought I had to tell somebody, Cliff, but I'd rather word of this didn't get out yet.
No, of course.
I know I can rely on your discretion.
Yes, sir. Cliff? Oh, morning, John.
So what's the word? How is he?
What?
Farnsworth. Isn't that what old man Adams called you in to tell you about?
Farnsworth?
Come on, Cliff. Don't play innocent.
How did you know about this?
I keep my ears open. Someone in the mailroom said all his mail is to be forwarded to a certain medical institution until further notice.
Well, he's gone in for some tests,
the big C.
Possibly. But word of this shouldn't get around.
Not yet.
No, of course not. Especially not to the other vice presidents, eh? We don't want to start a stampede. Mum's the word.
Your usual tonight? Cliff?
Hmm? Oh, yeah, sure.
Something wrong?
Hildy Farnsworth's in the hospital.
What?
For tests. Possible cancer.
He might have to retire?
That's a terrible way to think.
You mean the thought didn't cross your mind?
What? No, that's just it. It did.
Well, it is a normal reaction, darling. There's nothing inhumane about that. And you can bet the other vice presidents are thinking about it, especially, I dare say, Mr. John Hogan.
Why do you hate him so much?
I don't hate him. I just don't like him.
You barely know the man. You've only met at cocktail parties.
He's smarmy, smug, arrogant, conceited.
He's certainly gotten under your skin.
Why are you coming to his defense? Because you trained him? Because he's your protege? Because he took your idea about the Far East and developed it as his own?
Well, it was an obvious idea. And it's helped the bank. That's what counts.
No, it isn't. We're what counts. Your family.
I know that, and that's exactly why I'm not going to let myself get emotionally caught up in office politics. Once you give in to jealousy and spite, it consumes you. I've seen it happen to too many people.
But you have to stick up for yourself. You've worked too hard. We both have. We've earned the right not to have to worry in our old age.
Once you give in to jealousy and spite, it consumes you. I've seen it happen to too many people.
But you have to stick up for yourself. You've worked too hard. We both have. We've earned the right not to have to worry in our old age.
Well, we're not that old.
Well, I feel old.
Why?
I don't know. Because I worry.
Honey,
Is that what's bothering you?
No, don't say anything reasonable. I want to be angry for a while.
Why don't we just forget it? I'll read to you like I used to.
You just like to teach people. You don't want to get ahead. You want to sit back and be the anonymous, all-wise sage, the eternal bridesmaid.
I wanted to be a teacher once, remember?
Well, you're not. You're a banker. You pulled Farnsworth out of the fire, too, only to watch him be promoted over your head. I can see the handwriting on the wall, Cliff. Just the thought of John Hogan getting that job instead of you. I tell you.
He really has gotten under your skin, hasn't he? Why?
At parties. Ever since you mentioned it, I've noticed. He looks at me the way he looks at everything else, as if it's his.
Ah. Well, I'm sure this time I'll get the position. They know my work.
Yes, but they don't know you. It's not just that you deserve it, Cliff. You need it. We need the money.
Darling, I'm sorry. I really am sorry. But I can't be anything but what I am.
I know. And I do love you, darling. I do. But I don't want to be old, Cliff. I don't want to worry.
Did Melissa love her husband? The following night, John Hogan received a singular visitor at his bachelor flat.
Coming. Yes?
Hello, John.
Mrs. Grant.
May I come in?
Of course. Is Cliff...
No, I'm alone. I came into town to do some shopping today, and I completely lost track of time. Just like a schoolgirl. Anyway, the next train doesn't leave for an hour, and I knew you lived in the neighborhood, so I thought I'd take the liberty of dropping by. I hope you don't mind. Are you alone?
Well, yes, but...
Oh, you're going out.
No, as a matter of fact, I brought some work home with me from the office.
Ah, yes, they're all very impressed with your tireless efforts at the bank.
Well, I do what I can.
Do you? Well, will you have pity on a poor woman who's missed her train?
Would you like a drink?
You read my mind.
Please sit down.
Thank you.
If memory serves, your drink is scotch and soda.
You have a flattering memory. I won't stay long. Next train leaves in an hour.
Would you like to call Cliff and tell him where you are?
No. Actually, I do have a bona fide reason for stopping by. We're throwing a cocktail party this Friday, and we'd like you to come.
For people from the office?
And the board of directors.
I'll be there.
Good. Oh, it's heaven to be off my feet. Why are you standing? Sit down.
Why not?
It's a marvelous apartment. You do quite well for yourself.
Well, in addition to my salary, I made some pretty good investments.
Must be wonderful to be free and young. Though, of course, you're not all that young, are you?
I've been around, I guess.
And you have a great future ahead of you.
Do I?
Ah, yes. I hear talk.
What kind of talk?
Cocktail parties. The older men say things in the hearing of their wives, almost as if we weren't there.
What have you heard?
Who impresses, who doesn't, why? Even those old stiffs on the board can be very frank, especially once they've had a few drinks. Speaking of which...
Oh, you have time for another?
Yes, just a short one. You know, I've often felt like a spy at those parties. Of course, they're careful not to say anything about Cliff in my presence.
Oh, listen, Cliff's a great guy. There's not a person there who doesn't...
But I've often thought if I were an agent for one of the other men in the office, an agent or even, who knows, well, I could be quite valuable to him.
Here's your drink.
Thank you. John, you didn't look while you poured. This is far too much.
Well, I'm sorry,
No. I'll just gulp it down and run. This is fun. Cliff always frowns if I have more than one drink at home. Good.
Are you sure you don't want to call to tell him you're on your way?
Sometimes it's nice not to have people know where you are. Now, for example, are you aware that your executive vice president doesn't like you?
Hildy Farnsworth? Well, why not?
Because you dress better than he does.
It's ridiculous.
Maybe, but it's true. Men have their vanity, too. And you'd be wise not to offend it. Also, Cliff tells me you've been complaining about one of the other vice presidents.
Ben Simpson.
You shouldn't.
Why not? Guy comes in at 10, takes off at 3, and in meetings he never knows what the hell he's talking about. He's dead lumber. I don't know why they don't bounce him.
Because Ben Simpson plays golf with, went to college with, and shares a summer vacation home with Milton Channing.
Channing? Same Channing who's on the board of directors?
Exactly.
So that's why he gets away with it.
Yes. But that's not your concern. Do you want a cause or a career?
Well, obviously a career.
Obviously. The problem is you were spoiled working for my husband. Cliff's so damned easygoing, nothing bothers him. But you are now in shark-infested waters. And discretion is a valuable asset.
Well, thanks.
Thank you.
For what?
The drink. Oh, I see it's time to go if I'm going to make that train. Oh, and speaking of discretion, don't mention to Cliff that I stopped by.
Of course not.
Morning, John.
Morning, Cliff.
Have you heard the latest on Farnsworth?
No.
First batch of tests was positive, I'm afraid. They're going to keep him in another week, run some more.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, poor guy. Oh, say, we're having a get-together at our place this Friday. We'd like it if you could come.
Yes, I've already... I mean, sure, I'd like that.
Good. If you feel like it, bring a date.
Oh. Hello.
John, I want to be your spy.
What?
I had such a good time last week, I decided I want to make it official. Let me live out my fantasy of being a secret spy.
Look, Mrs. Grant, I don't know if that...
Oh, please, call me Melissa.
Melissa,
May I come in?
Well, yes. But I'm going out.
You have a date.
Yes, I'm sorry if I'd known you were coming.
Oh, no, I understand. Serves me right for being so impulsive.
Please, I'm glad you were. Gives me a chance to thank you again for the party last Friday. I had a good time.
Did you?
Yes.
I could tell. I watched you all evening.
Oh, really? I wasn't aware.
Oh, I think you were. Just a bit. And that girl you brought with you. Very effective.
Effective?
I could see those old board members swelling with envy.
Is that good or bad?
Good, I think. Old men like that get into the habit of taking credit for everything their subordinates do. What was her name?
Janie.
Is that who you're seeing tonight?
Well, no, actually, I...
Oh, sorry. No, I'm sorry, but forgive me. That's none of my business. I put myself in an awkward position.
Oh, no.
No, I've put us both in an awkward position. I should have called.
I do have a few minutes before I...
No, I must go. But perhaps I do have to be in the city again tomorrow. Perhaps I could...
Please do.
And so Melissa became a regular visitor to John's apartment. And like Cyrano, who brought his cloistered Roxanne the news, only with the roles reversed, she fed him much valuable information. Sometimes their eyes would meet in silence, and they would cover the moment quickly with small talk. But it did seem only a matter of time.
Melissa, I'm home. Melissa? Oh, you are here this evening.
Of course.
All the trips you've been taking into the city the last few weeks, I never know what to expect.
Oh, after all the years trapped out here in suburbia, I'm suddenly rediscovering the city, that's all. So much to do. I feel like I'm in my second childhood.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Uh-oh. I recognize that face. You brought something home with you from the office.
Yes.
News?
Farnsworth's definitely going to have to retire at the end of the month. Board's going to meet at the end of the week to decide on a successor.
And?
And I'm worried.
Why? You're sure to get it this time.
I don't know. I think old man Adams has his eye on Hogan. Look, I have an idea. Let's meet in town tomorrow night after work. We'll go to dinner, take in a movie, just the two of us.
Shouldn't you do something? I mean, prepare a policy statement or something to catch the board's eye.
I wasn't cut out for this kind of thing.
But you said the other night that
They're thinking of ordering one.
I know my work. I just want to forget the whole business until it's over. What do you say? Should we go out tomorrow?
I can't.
Why not?
I don't want to. I want to go into the city because I like to be alone.
Good evening.
Secret Agent Melissa Grant reporting for duty.
Come on in. I'm afraid we haven't much time this evening. I've got a lady friend coming for dinner, and I wouldn't want her to get the wrong idea.
Oh, no, of course not.
Here's your scotch and soda, already poured.
I am depressingly efficient. Well, at long last, I have some substantial news for you. Farnsworth's out.
Farnsworth?
At the end of the month.
Well, that's too bad.
Don't waste your breath. Looking out for number one is a full-time job, and the board meets this Friday to appoint his successor.
Who will most likely be your husband?
Not necessarily. According to Cliff, the president has his eye on you. I also happen to know that the board feels it's time the bank had a new policy statement. You think you can draft one by Friday?
No one's asked me to.
Well, no one will. Point is, your initiative in doing so. Now is the time to make your move.
Wait a minute. Let me get this straight. I appreciate the kinds of tips you've been giving me, but I thought it was just a game. I thought you were just...
Just what?
Well, trying to help me, of course, but...
John, in this life, there are winners and there are losers. You are a winner.
I know, but I don't understand. Are you trying to put me into direct competition with your husband?
You already are, and you know it. What I want is to see that you win.
Behind every successful man, there's a woman. In this liberated age, we don't hear that phrase as much as we used to, but it certainly applies to our story. However, there's a problem. The woman behind the man is generally assumed to be his wife. Not only is that not the case here, but she's the wife of his rival. Cliff's virtues are indisputable, but he lacks the survival tactics needed for success. And Melissa, perhaps feeling time's cool hand on her own shoulder, is laying the foundation for brighter pastures. Cicely Tyson again, and here's the concluding act of survival.
You want me to openly compete with Cliff for the job?
You know the board will consider both you and Cliff. And you know you're very highly esteemed. This is your chance to ensure victory.
But why?
By just happening to write a policy report now, you increase your visibility. You flatter them by appearing to have read their minds.
No, I mean, why are you doing this?
Maybe because I think you and I are... two of a kind. Oh, my glass is empty. Could you mix me another?
This is a little more than I was bargaining for.
Is it? You're ready any day now to betray Cliff in one way. Why not another? What?
I don't believe it. You're up to something. Now, what is it? What's your game?
There's no game, John.
No, I think I can figure it out. Cliff's worried, right? So this is a little scheme between the two
Cliff
of you.
Cliff doesn't know I come here.
You alone, then. I'm Cliff's discovery. You come here and prep me, so I'll go in and look good. But Cliff looks even better, right? Because I'm his protege.
That's very ingenious, but that isn't it at all.
No? You're just using me.
Do you think Cliff ever took proper credit for discovering you? It's beneath him to do something like that. And besides, the president has already done it.
He has?
Yes. And Cliff was too timid to say a thing. Old man Adams has been touting you to the board as his discovery. You're a feather in his cap, not Cliff's. I'm here because you have what it takes and he doesn't. And if we play our cards right, we can go all the way to the top. What's the matter, dear? You've hardly touched your dinner.
Very hungry.
But it's veal piccata, your favorite.
I haven't liked veal piccata for years.
Oh, I must have forgotten.
Melissa, I feel like I'm eating with a stranger. Has something been happening between us that I haven't been aware of?
I don't know what you mean.
That's what I mean.
What?
I don't know. I'm sorry. Maybe it's my fault.
What?
Maybe I should have been more aggressive.
Why? Everyone likes you.
Do they respect me?
That's a stupid question.
No, do they? Do they respect old nice guy Cliff, the one they can all take advantage of, push around? And there's not a thing in the world I can do about it.
Why not?
I'm not cut out for blowing my own horn. I'm not a salesman. Some people know how to sell themselves. Me, I just get obnoxious. I mean, I know damn well the old man is touting John Hogan to the board.
You could have nipped that in the bud.
I know. But now it would just sound like sour grapes. And now I'm not even going to have a chance to sell myself. And Hogan is.
Oh? What do you mean?
When the board meets on Friday, they're going to interview him.
But not you?
No. I'm a known quantity. Good old, safe, reliable Cliff, who's been around since the Stone Age.
So John will have a chance to make his presentation.
He's used my ideas to get where he is. I taught him everything I know, and damn well, I might add. They know me. They know my work. They're fools enough to go with John Hogan. Let them. I'm sorry. I'm talking to you like you were the enemy or something, and I've no one to blame but myself. But I feel like we've become distant. Something's come between us. And I need your support, darling. I need you.
You have me.
Do I? You see, I doubt everything. Even you. And you're the one person I can trust.
I think you need a good night's sleep. The important thing is that you don't go to the office in this condition tomorrow.
Wait a minute.
What?
Look, I wanted to talk to you about tomorrow, the board meeting.
What is there to talk about?
Well, you know, it's not really in our power to affect the outcome of their decision.
No.
I was thinking maybe we could have lunch.
No, I've got work to do.
Well, maybe a drink.
Why? Why do you want to have a drink with me?
I just feel we've drifted apart since I was promoted.
No. It's not my policy to be rude, John, but frankly, I don't want to have a drink with you.
Miss Gibson, I'm going down to the board meeting in 15 minutes. Hold all my calls. I don't want to be disturbed. Gotta get my thoughts organized. Finish this policy statement.
Hello.
Melissa, what are you doing here?
Just thought I'd drop by.
Well, you can't be seen in here. What will people think? How did you get by my secretary?
She was looking the other way. Ah, come on. Relax, John. Get hold of yourself. I just came by to wish you good luck.
I don't know if I can go through with this.
Why not?
I feel as if I'm leading a double life. I can't talk to Cliff anymore. I can't even look him in the eye. I think he knows.
He doesn't know a thing. And in 15 minutes, it'll all be over.
How do you figure that? Suppose I do get the position. What then? You think it's going to be easier? That's just the beginning.
That's right, darling. It's just the beginning. And what a glorious beginning it'll be for both of us.
What do you mean for both of us? What have you got in mind? What's in this for you?
Ah, John, we can talk about that later.
No, I want to talk about it now.
I'm filing for divorce on Monday.
You're what?
The same rules that apply in business apply in life, my dear. Know what you want, go after it.
Divorce?
You want me to, John. You know you do.
Well, we just have to figure out how this is going to look.
Don't care. I come with a promotion, darling. It's that simple.
Well, what will people think?
Oh, we'll be discreet. I'm in no rush. We'll keep a low profile until it all blows over. You can have Cliff fire if it makes you nervous.
You're a monster.
Aren't I? Now, straighten your tie. Pull yourself together. This is your chance to impress all of them. And tonight, we celebrate. I told Cliff I'd be spending the night in the city at my mother's.
A whole night?
Yes. A whole night. They're waiting for you, darling. And tonight, I'll be waiting for you. Good luck.
Melissa, I'm home. Melissa? Oh, that's right. She said she was going to spend the night in town at her mother's.
Hello, dear.
Melissa. Well, you're here.
Of course. I've been dying all day. So, how did it go? Did the board reach a decision?
Yes.
Well?
John resigned.
What?
He went down for his interview, but before anyone could say a thing, he turned in his resignation. I went by his office this afternoon and was already cleaned out. He'd gone.
He'd gone? But then, who's the new executive vice president? Or don't I have to ask?
No. Matter of fact, you don't. But I can't understand what happened to Hogan. He just quit. Ran away.
I don't think we have to concern ourselves with Mr. John Hogan anymore. He always did strike me as the sort of to burn himself out early. I never had any doubt that the best man for the job would get it.
No? Well, I just wish you'd been a little more supportive. Now, these past few weeks, I felt like I was on my own.
I guess there are some situations where a wife serves best by just staying in the background.
The Sears Radio Theater has been brought to you by Sears Roebuck and Company, where our policy is satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Sears, where America shops for value. Survival was written by Percy Grainger, produced and directed by Ken McManus. Your hostess was Cicely Tyson. Our stars were Mary Jane Croft, Fletcher Markle, and Elliot Lewis. Featured in the cast was Carly Bear. The music for Sears Radio Theater was composed and conducted by Nelson Riddle. This is Art Gilmore speaking. The Elliot Lewis production of Sears Radio Theater is a presentation of CBI.
With great music and more. People like Donna Michaels and Tom Lewis on KMOX FM, St. Louis.
KMOX FM.
CBS News. The new rebel-supported regime takes over in Nicaragua. This is John Bohannon reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Much of the activity today in Managua was the arrival of Sandinista guerrillas and the welcome by the people of the capital city. More from Don Webster in Managua.
Some members of Nicaragua's new ruling junta have arrived at Managua's airport. Reports are in conflict how many are here, but tomorrow is scheduled to be inauguration day for some and perhaps all. The junta had been in San Jose, Costa Rica, waiting for the fighting to end. When President Anastasio Somoza left the country, they flew to the city of León in Nicaragua, and they have now come to the capital. Once in office, their first job will be to restore order in a country where anarchy now reigns. Then they will begin the social restructuring of the country, specifically wiping out all traces of the 42 years of rule by the Somoza family. Don Webster, CBS News, Managua.
Some members of Congress are described as stunned by the Carter administration's shakeup, and some are saying it's politically motivated, a result of preoccupation with the president's image. Leading congressional figures seem caught off guard by the president's decision to fire Treasury Secretary Blumenthal and HEW Secretary Califano. The news that Attorney General Griffin Bell would leave came as no surprise because he had said earlier that he would resign before the president ran for re-election. One source quotes Congressman Charles Wilson of Texas as saying, "Good grief, they're cutting down the biggest trees and keeping the monkeys." Leaders of education and health are praising Joseph Califano, but the praise is for Mr. Carter in the tobacco-growing states in the South. Tobacco farmers and dealers didn't like Califano's drive against smoking, and others disagreed with his views on integration of schools, especially the University of North Carolina. The governor of North Carolina, James Hunt, was asked if there was any pressure from southern governors for the president to fire Califano.
I don't think that was a major thing. I think it was a matter of who was following the president's lead. Were they on the team or not? And I think the president made a decision that everybody's going to be on the team if they're going to be in his cabinet.
North Carolina's Agriculture Commissioner, Jim Graham, says Califano's departure will be a relief to the tobacco industry. The United Auto Workers Union has a victory tonight in the Sun Belt section of the country where it hasn't been openly welcome. The union won the right to represent nearly 2,300 workers at the General Motors Assembly Plant in Oklahoma City. Some observers say it's a test of anti-union Southern strategy. Mobil Oil Corporation is raising its gasoline supplies to 100% of last year's level for the rest of this month and all of August. It's the first oil company to do that. Mobil had been supplying 97% of last year's level overall. Some gasoline is kept back for priority users, such as the military and for set-aside programs controlled by state governments. Mobil's allocations to dealers are being increased to 87% of last year's levels. Israeli Prime Minister Begin is in a hospital in Jerusalem for some tests. A spokesman says the prime minister will be there for the next few days. An aide says Begin began to feel ill after a cabinet session in Tel Aviv earlier in the day. There's a mystery of sorts you may want to ponder the next time you're waiting in line for gasoline. A company that makes luxury bathroom equipment in Spartanburg, South Carolina, says it has filled an order for 32 giant bathtubs, each measuring 7 feet long and 5 feet high, and each holding 140 gallons of water. The customer is identified only as a distributor in Saudi Arabia. John Bohannon, CBS News.